Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Hebrews the 11th chapter in verse 11. It says, by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age. Now remember, she was barren all through her younger years of life, and now she's what we refer to as an elderly woman. She's an older woman now, almost 100 years old. And she bore a child when she was past the age because, now here's the reason why, because she judged him faithful who had promised. She judged him faithful who had promised. Remember, Abraham was a prophet of God, and he had heard from God, and he obeyed God. And he continued to follow God throughout the course of his life. And of course, Sarah is submissively coming along by his side. And she's seeing Abraham take them into places and into circumstances that just did not look good. And she's, you know, probably thinking many times and maybe even verbalizing, you know, if this is God, why is there a famine? If this is God, why is this happening to us? And why is that? And we've covered some things that happened to them through the course of their life. And not everything was a bed of roses. Not everything just went real smooth, even though Abraham was obeying God. And of course, in his obedience to God, he missed it at times too, didn't he? He made some mistakes. He compromised some of his obedience to God at times, and that caused even more problems. So in other words, he created some of his own problems in the name of obeying God. So it looks like he's obeying God. Why is this happening? But anyway, God was able to come through, deliver him, bless him, increase him, ultimately bring to pass the things that he said he would bring to pass in their life. And so Sarah is witnessing God coming through for them, going through a tough time. Why is this happening? Why is this happening? Abraham's like, be still, relax. It's going to be okay. I've heard from God. God is with us, honey. It's going to be okay. It's going to be good. Just calm down, Sarah. And so, you know, next thing you know, it works out. Next thing you know, another crooked place is made straight. And she's seeing God coming through time and time again for them because of Abraham's faith. So as Abraham continued to obey God and allowed God or made a way for God to be able to come through for them, it caused Sarah to be able to see the faithfulness of God. And as she thought about the faithfulness of God time and time again, because she considered him who had promised faithful, she herself was able to rise up and believe God and conceive seed so that she was able to give birth to what God had promised. We have to realize, you know, from this example in the Word of God, that we are affecting other people around us, either for good or for bad. If we're walking in the flesh, you're affecting more than just yourself. And we're over here now in Genesis chapter 16. Genesis 16, of course, going back. Sarah had come up with a brilliant idea. She shared with Abraham about how they could have a child through another woman by the name of Hagar, their Egyptian servant. And they went with that plan. And of course, that caused all kinds of problems in the house for them. They ended up experiencing all kinds of troubles, trials and tests as a result of that. You know, the flesh will always cause trouble for you. How many people know what I'm talking about? A lot of folks try to find relief by doing something in the flesh. If I just do this in the flesh, I'll get some relief. And it just ends up causing more trouble down the road. It's better to just suffer in waiting. Waiting on God. Waiting on Him to bring things to pass for you. Don't try to make things happen. Don't push things. Don't push and don't force. Remember, fear forces. Fear forces. Fear pushes. And if you're pushing and if you're forcing, are you in faith? No, you're not in faith. Faith doesn't force and faith doesn't push. Faith leads. Faith just leads by example. Faith just leads by obedience to God. Faith just leads by following the Spirit of God. Faith just leads the way. And as a result of that, it will affect others to follow. And all these things will be added unto us. We don't have to push to make things happen. They are added unto us. So they forced, they pushed, they created problems for themselves. They ended up having a child by the name of Ishmael. And so there's all kinds of bitterness and envy going on there in the house. And we know sweet little Sarah, she got angry. She got hot. She dealt harshly with Hagar. Literally, she afflicted her so that Hagar fled from Sarah. But God, in His mercy, He met with Hagar and told, no, go back and submit to Sarah. Go back, submit to her, I'll take care of you. And when Hagar understood that God was going to protect her and take care of her, she was able to go back in what seemed like a hostile situation and submit. And of course, there's a lesson in there for us that you and I shouldn't just be looking to jump out of trials and tests, looking to run and flee to try to save our life. You know, if God is with us and He's leading us, we need to submit. Submit. Just because it gets hot in the kitchen doesn't mean you start throwing frying pans. All right? Just because it gets hot in the kitchen, what are we going to do? We're going to jump out. No, not always. Submit. Here God told her to submit, and she did. She submitted to authority. And how many people know you and I are to submit to the authorities that are set over us? But what happens when authority goes wrong on us? Huh? What happens when authority is not treating us right? What happens when authority is doing us wrong? Well, what does the Bible tell us to do? Number one, the Bible tells us over in 1 Timothy chapter 2 that we are to pray for those in authority. Pray for those in authority. Why? That we might lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness. So the first thing we need to do is run. No, pray. Run to God. Not run from authority, not run from the trouble, but what? Press in and pray. Pray to God, knowing that He hears us. He hears us, He'll protect us, He'll help us. And we don't have to rise up and try to defend ourselves. We can rest and trust in Him. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 is a scripture that I'm reminded of when thinking about these things, wanting to flee from authority, quit our job, run away from home, all these different things. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 says in verse 4, if the spirit of the ruler rises against you, do not leave your post, for conciliation pacifies great offenses. So look at that. He says, if the spirit of the ruler rises against you, you know, he's dealing harshly with you. He says, do not leave your post. Do not leave your position. Do not quit. Do not run away. Stand your ground. Stay faithful. Stay faithful to the place, to the position, to the assignment that was given to you. The Amplified Bible says it this way. If the temper of the ruler rises against you, do not leave your post showing resistance, because composure and calmness prevent great offenses. It's amazing how many things will clear up when we just stay still and don't do something irrational. A lot of times when the pressure comes, people can't see clearly and their emotions get all stirred up and they do something irrational. They leave their post, they leave their position, they lose their place. And it ends up creating more problems for them. But here it says, if you stay put, stay calm. Stay calm. Because your calmness will prevent great offenses. It'll help things to settle down. If you stay calm, you can calm others down. You can calm the situation down. Turn to somebody and say, stay calm. The Amplified Contemporary says, if the temper of the ruler rises up against you, do not leave your place or show a resisting spirit, for gentleness and calmness prevent or put to stop great offenses. So don't get all offended yourself. Put a stop to offense. Contemporary English version says, don't give up your job when your boss gets angry. If you stay calm, you will be forgiven. Remember, Hagar, she caused the problem, didn't she? I mean, she was mocking. She was despising Sarah. And so, but God says, go back, submit, take your place in the house, and serve like you're supposed to. And apparently they got through that thing. She was forgiven. The easy-to-read version. They got all kinds of versions now. The easy-to-read version says, don't quit your job simply because the boss is angry with you. If you remain calm and helpful, you can correct even great mistakes. You can get the thing fixed. And how many people know if God is for you? Huh? You can get the thing fixed. You can get the thing turned around. So don't panic. Don't panic. Pray for authority and stay in your place. Stay in your place unless God leads you differently. And we will see actually later on where God did lead some folks to separate. But here, Genesis chapter 16, in verse 15, it says, so Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram named his son whom Hagar bore Ishmael. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abram. Verse chapter 17. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless. So this is about 13 years later. Walk before me and be blameless. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. Now, you might want to underline that in your Bible. You shall be a father. You shall be. You shall be. That's future tense, isn't it? It's future tense. And that's up to this point, that's what God has been saying to him. You shall be a father of many nations. So God's putting what in Abraham? Hope. Putting a vision in him. That's what hope is. Hope is spiritual vision. God is showing him his plans for him. Your wife's been barren, and it doesn't look like this can happen. You're up there in years, but I'm telling you, God's letting them know, I'm going to make you. You shall be a father of many nations. Verse 5, no longer, now watch this, no longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. You might want to underline that. I have made you a father. I have made you. Notice, what is that? Is that future tense or past tense? It's past tense. So here, God, up to this point, and reiterates in verse 4, that you shall be a father of many nations. God's repeating to him what he's always been saying to him. But in that same conversation, God takes Abraham to the next level. He takes him to the next level in his spiritual development, in his walk with God. He moves Abraham out of hope, spiritual vision of what is to come, a confident expectation of what shall be, and he moves them now out of hope concerning this promise into faith, which is past or present tense. Hope is always future tense. Faith is always present tense or past tense. It's either happening or it's happened. It's done. It's finished. It's over. That's faith. Faith isn't believing it will come to pass. Faith is believing it has come to pass. It has happened. It's done. You see, a lot of folks don't really understand. They don't know that. A lot of folks are in hope about things that they're believing God for, and they're not in faith. Because remember, hope is believing God. It is a confident, without doubting, believing in what will be. What will be. Future tense. It's a believing that's as confident as faith, but it's future tense. And if we go back to Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now notice that. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, or faith gives substance to what you're hoping for. Which means before you can get in faith, before you can have faith, you have to first have hope. You have to be in hope. You have to have hope. And that's exactly what we see with Abraham. God is bringing him along, telling him, this is what I'm going to do for you. This is what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen. You're going to be. It shall come to pass. This is what you're going to have. And God is building up. He's taking a man that has no hope, and he's putting hope in him. He's putting hope in him. He's giving him spiritual vision. And Abraham believes God. He believes that he's going to be a father of many nations. Doesn't know how it's going to happen, but he believes he's going to be a father of many nations. He is convinced of it. He's convinced of it. But he's not in faith. He's not in faith. He's in what? He's in hope. He's in hope of what is to be. And so hope is great at waiting. Hope is patient. Hope can wait and wait and wait and wait. And it can wait. It can endure. It can endure through trials and tests and just be patient and wait and walk around the desert and just know it's going to happen. It don't matter how many years. Praise God. I know it's going to happen. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I'm convinced of it. It's going to happen. And it doesn't grow weary in believing. It just keeps right on going, expecting, 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 enduring, enduring, enduring. It is a great waiter. It's great at waiting. It is great at waiting. but it is terrible at receiving. It doesn't receive. It just waits. Waits for the promise to come to pass. It's great at waiting. We need endurance, don't we? Yeah, the Bible talks a lot about how we need to have endurance. We need, in other words, have hope. Hope is what gives us endurance. We got to have hope. Got to have it. If you don't have any endurance, you're never going to get to faith. You got to build up your endurance, which means what? You got to be a person that's full of hope, full of expectation of what's coming. Expectation about your life. Praise God, regardless of what's going on or what's happening, I know it's good, man. My future is bright. The Bible says, mark the blameless man and consider the upright, for the future of that man is peace. Ooh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I'm walking with God, walking upright, and my future is peace. And so it's happy. It's happy about what's to come. So it's able to endure through anything. We need that. But then we've got to get to the place where we move from hope over into faith. So that what? So that we can take what we've been believing for and have it. Have it. Receive it. Have it now. We've got to move into faith in order to have it. Well, I believe someday I'm going to be better. I know I'm going to get better. I know I'm going to get better. I know I'm going to get better. Hallelujah, I know I'm going to get better. You know, a lot of people have died knowing they were going to get better. Because they just kept knowing they were going to get better. They had hope, but they never transitioned. They never transitioned into faith where they say, bless God, I just got better. Woo, hallelujah, I'm healed. I'm better. It's fixed. Everything's good. And the thing about faith is believing that before you even see that. You don't see it. It don't feel that way. Nothing looks like it's changed. God says to Abram, no longer your name's Abram. For I have made you a father of many nations. Now, the kid that was to be born wasn't even born yet. The child through whom he was going to be a father of many nations wasn't even born yet. And God says, I have made. Abraham means father of multitudes or father of nations. Father of many nations. God actually changed his name, said, this is who you are now. This is who you are. It's done. You are a father of many nations. Child's not even born yet. I have made you. I have made you. I have made you. Now see, we've got to step over into the present tense or the past tense in order to be able to take what is in the unseen and bring it into the seen realm. It takes faith to manifest the promises of God. Hope will not manifest the promise of God. Hope will keep you going until you can get into faith where you can receive it. So first there's hope. Just like before you build a building, you got to have blueprints. You don't just walk out to the field and say, all right, let's do this thing, boys. Well, what do? I don't know. We're going to build ourselves a building. We're going to do it right now. Let's go. And folks start chopping down trees and, you know, people start throwing steel all over the place and pouring concrete. Hey, you'd have a mess, wouldn't you? Just have an absolute mess. Why? Because you need blueprints. You need a design. You need a clear vision. You need a full, complete, clear, government-stamped picture of what you're going to do. And so God is providing us with blueprints. If we're listening, he's providing us with blueprints to his promises. Many times we think we can have it before we really can have it. We're not there yet. I didn't get too many amens on that, and I understand, because we all think we're there, don't we? I understand that. But There are some things that you've got to just continue to walk with God and continue to seek God. That's why getting in the Word is so important. Because He's drawing His blueprints in your mind. He's helping you to fully get a clear picture of Him. Oh, yeah, I love God. You know, everybody in the world runs around. Oh, God. Oh, yeah, I love God. God's good. God's great. God's wonderful. And they don't know what they're talking about. They don't know God from Joe. They don't know God. A lot of folks got God confused with the devil. Well, God's just teaching us with that disease. I mean, they got so confused. Why? They don't have a full, complete picture of who it is they're believing to receive from. They don't know His heart. They heard some things. They've read some things. Some preachers have told them some stuff. They don't see it yet. It's fuzzy. They got a fuzzy idea about God. They don't have a clear picture. And so as a result of that, they're not ready. They think they're ready, but they're not ready to receive. They're not able to receive from Him yet. So we have to stay with God and allow our understanding of Him, our vision of Him to get clearer and clearer and clearer, and His plan for our life get clearer and clearer and clearer, and we're growing and we're understanding, and God's teaching us stuff as we go. And so our hope is developing. It's developing, and then, praise God, it's able to come to the place where we can turn that corner and go from hope into faith and roll out the blueprints and see it and realize it. I am a father of many nations. And it might even be possible that the birth of Ishmael, which was not God's plan, but having Ishmael to call his son, perhaps being able to see that he actually had a son, now he was able to believe in the present tense that he was a father of many nations. Perhaps that actually helped him, which is an amazing thing, how God will cause even our mistakes to prosper for us, huh? He'll cause even our mistakes to help us to grow. How many things have we done wrong and messed up, but can look back at it and realize the lessons we learned through those mistakes? God's so good. And that's why so many people, bad things happen. They do stuff. They get themselves in trouble. They cause themselves. Yes, God sent me to jail for 10 years because it was in jail that I really got fired up for God. And so, no, well, listen. God didn't have you commit a crime so He can throw you in jail so He can do a great thing in your life. No, it just shows how great God is, that He will take some of your stupidest mistakes, huh? Some of your most hideous sins, come on, and He is so good. He is so merciful. He is so committed to accomplishing in your life what He wants to accomplish, that He will take those things and turn them for your good and for His glory. He'll do it. He'll do it. That's why I don't have to worry even about your mistakes. If you repent, run to God, say, Lord, I missed it. Forgive me for that. He'll do it. He'll forgive you, cleanse you, and watch what He does with it. So you don't even have to walk around, I messed my life up. I messed my life up. God's bigger than your mess. And He is your life. And you didn't mess Him up. If God is your life, you can't mess up your life. Write that down and tweet it. I'm going to say it again. I liked it so much. Praise God. If God is your life, then you can't mess up your life. Woo! Because He is your life. You can't mess Him up. He's bigger. He's bigger than your messes. What confidence that gives us, huh? What hope that gives us. And so Abraham now is a father of many nations in his heart. Even though we don't see those children yet, he knows it. It's as good as done. He's not believing for it anymore. He's just believing in it. He's just believing in it. So we need to recognize that when it comes to healing. A lot of folks are believing for their healing. Okay, but that's not believing you're healed. Believing for your healing is not believing you are healed. You're believing what? For it. For it. We're in the future tense, aren't we? We're believing for it. In other words, we're believing to have it. We're believing that we will have it. I know I will have it. Thank God you need to be commended for that. That's wonderful. You need to have hope. But we've got to also keep going until it's clear in our heart and we see it and we know it and we know this is done. I have received it from God. It is a finished deal. I am healed. I am healed. Now we're just doing what we couldn't do before and expecting things to change. Expecting things to change. It's as good as done. Hallelujah. I'm not going to be more than a conqueror. I am more than a conqueror. Hallelujah. I am more than a conqueror. I am healed. So we see that, you know, of course, over in Mark chapter 11. How can you talk about faith and not go to Mark chapter 11? Let's go there. Mark 11, verse 22, it says, Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Have faith in God. And now he goes on to explain. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. Now watch verse 24. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them. Now that word receive can also be translated take. And I like that. Believe that you take them, and you will have them. Now let's break that down. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask. First of all, I like that whatever things. Oh, man. God has given us the world and everything in it. Huh? God's not holding any good thing back from us. He says whatever things. Whatever things. If it's a whatever, you can have it. Aren't you grateful for that? I mean, God's not sitting there going, well, now I don't want you to have that. That's too nice. You're believing for a little bit too much over there, Charlie. Are you trying to bankrupt heaven? You're not going to bankrupt heaven. You know, to believe God for greatness, for great things, for big things, glorifies him. It says that you believe that he is a big God. It says that you believe he's bigger than the devil. You believe he's bigger than the thing you're believing him for. You believe he's bigger. So he wants us to think big. That's why he says over in Ephesians that he's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you could ever ask or think. He's ready to do a whole lot more than you're believing him for. He wants your hopes higher. I tell you, I've seen this in my life where I was believing for this and I thought this would be good. This would be good, and I was believing for it and I was getting a vision of that thing, and yet I could not get over into a place where I could actually take that thing. I couldn't get that thing. And it wasn't long after that, next thing you know, you start realizing that was too small. That was too small. You needed to keep going in your hope until you had a bigger picture, a bigger vision concerning those things. You know what I'm talking about? Have a bigger picture. Have a bigger vision. I remember, you know, go back to the building of this building. I remember, you know, we had a, it was this big kind of tent structure, but it was a permanent tent structure. And so we were going to have that. I thought, well, we could do this. We could do this. And so we investigated it and all and looked into it, and it just, everything about it seemed doable. It was easy. You didn't have to go through all the things you have to go through with a metal constructed building, or a brick constructed building or something like that. This is easy. It's simple. It looks a little weird. But hey, it's a church, man, and let's do it. We're a little weird, so why not? You know, we'll fit right into it. And so we designed it, and I flew on different places to go look at these buildings and walk through them and everything else, and they have a very nice setup on the inside and everything. And it looked like something like you would build on Mars or the moon maybe. Like if you wanted to set up colonies somewhere in outer space, you'd set up these. Very nice. And so, you know, we go through this whole process. We got this whole design. We got this whole thing. We're going through this whole thing. And as time went on, though, the vision, it never could come to pass. We finally, we were going to do it. We were ready to do it, and nothing would work. Nothing would work. Everything we tried to do to make it work, it just wouldn't work. It just wouldn't work. It just wouldn't work. And thank God it didn't work. Thank you, Jesus, it didn't work. I'm so glad it just wouldn't. It was crazy. I mean, you had people that were just, construction guys, everybody seemed so fired up and excited, and everybody just got all divided, and it just kept falling apart. I mean, every time you'd move forward to go make it happen, it would just fall apart. Thank God. I needed more time in the oven. I was half-baked. The vision was half-baked in me. I didn't have the full vision. And anyway, thank God, through the process of time, next thing you know, it was like I had a clearer vision and a believing of what we could do. So we have to be patient with ourselves as we grow in hope. We see here Abraham, he tried to make it happen before he had a full grasp on what God was going to do. God was going to do exceedingly abundantly above an Ishmael. He was going to cause Sarah, who'd been barren all her life, almost 100 years of age, she's the one that's going to do this thing. Abraham wasn't ready for that one. He said, Ishmael's good. We got Ishmael. But God was still working with him. God was still developing his faith. But notice, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them or take them and you will have them. When do you believe you take them? Come on, faith, Life of Faith Bible, Faith, Life of Faith, Faith Bible Church. When do you take them? When you pray. So this is the prayer of faith. Sometimes we pray prayers of hope. God builds our hopes. God builds our hopes. We come to God, we tell him our problems. God tells us his vision for our life. We're building our hope. We're building in our hope. But then there's the prayer of faith, where you're actually coming to him to take something. You're coming to him to take something from him. And when do you take it? You take it when you pray it. So your praying is your taking. So we have to understand that. That's why the Bible says in James chapter 1, it says, if anyone asks, let him ask in faith. In other words, don't ask until you are in faith to take it when you ask for it. That's important. A lot of folks go to God and they're asking and asking for things, but they're not spiritually ready to take it. They're not spiritually ready to stand up after they utter those words and say, I got it. Hallelujah, dare any devil try to talk me out of it. I got it. See, that's faith. I got it. And I recognize it when now. I mean, I recognize when I'm out in faith. I know 1 Peter 2:24 says, by whose stripes ye were healed. Now, I know healing belongs to us. I know that. But there's been times, plenty of times, where I'm not in faith about that. I believe it. I know it's true. But I'm in hope about it. I'm back over here in hope about it. You know? And so I know that in order for me to have that, I have to get in faith about that. So I'll go over there and look at 1 Peter 2:24, and I'll just keep saying it. By whose stripes you were healed. You were healed. I'll read it, look at it. You were healed. You were healed. And this is just one example, you know, using healing as an example. But it's like this with a lot of things. You got to recognize when you're not in a position to take it. You're just spiritually not in a position to take it. You're believing, but you're in hope. You know the promise is true. You know it belongs to you, but you're in hope about it. Now you got to get yourself over in faith. So you meditate, and I meditate, and meditate, and I've been in faith about it before, and I've taken it for myself. I've taken it for others. But then there's these times where I'm just not there right now. I got to get myself back over there. You know, just like physically, you know, you can be full after a meal, you know. And I mean, next day, that doesn't mean you're going to be full all the time. How many people know you can get hungry again? Right? You start getting hungry again. Next thing you know, I am so hungry. I am so hungry. Well, that's how faith comes from the Word, and the Word is food, spiritual food. Faith is the nourishment in the Word of God. And so we need to get some more calories. We need to get some more protein. We need to get some faith in there. So what we got to do? We got to eat. We got to eat. So I'll go down and just be munching with my eyes. By whose stripes you were healed. And I'm just chewing it with my eyes. Thinking about it. Meditating on it. And then I start getting filled. Then I start getting filled with it. It don't take long because, you know, I'm not starving in this area. When it comes to healing, I am not starving. You know, a lot of folks, I'm starving. It's like, all you need is a donut. I wouldn't recommend it. But all you need is a little biscuit and you're going to be fine. You know what I'm talking about? I'm so hungry. And then you have yourself just a little something and I'm full. You just needed something to top you off, right? You know what I'm talking about? Sometimes we just need to top off our faith. It's not like I've backslidden or something. And listen, you don't want to be presumptuous. You don't want to think just because you've had faith in that area that you have faith right now. You might now have hope. You've used your faith. Some days have gone by. Now you're over in hope. You need to recognize that. See, we need to be aware of our spiritual condition and understand these things. A lot of folks don't understand these things. And they're confused. They're over in hope and nothing's coming to pass because it won't come to pass while you're in hope. And they don't know how to take it. Well, I'm believing it. I mean, I'm believing it. Oh, that's fine. You can be believing it, but you're still not in faith, maybe. You can be believing it in hope. You understand? So we have to be able to discern that, recognize that. We have to know when we're taking it. So I'll just chew on it and meditate on it and just think on it and just fill myself up with it and just top off my spirit. Hallelujah. And then once I get topped off, how many of you know when you're full? Well, some of you maybe you don't, but you just keep going. You keep going. But usually we know I am full. Now, sometimes we don't because some things can taste so good, you know. It's just your mouth just keeps driving you. It's because it tastes so good you don't want it to stop, but your stomach's like, stop. Right? Spiritually, you have to recognize it. We got to full. And then it's like, by whose stripes you were. Past tense. You were. You were healed. You were healed. Hallelujah. You were. Praise God you were. Let's go to work. Let's go. Man, bless God. And we're done. And there's no doubting about it. I've got it. And there's no talking me out of it. You know, talking me out of it. I don't care what kind of symptom tries to jump in my face. We're done. I'm not praying about this. I'm not believing for this. This is done. Now, thank God we can believe for things. That's hope. But we need to move into we have it. We have it. We have it. And that goes with anything. You come to God and you ask. Don't ask unless you're ready to take. We can come to God and talk about things. I talk about all kinds of things with God. I come to him with all kinds of unbelief. And I talk to him about it. I talk about my unbelief to him. I talk about things I do not understand. I talk to him about stuff I do not understand that. And I don't know why that's happening. And we talk about it. But I talk about it in the hope of knowing that as I'm talking about this, he's going to start giving me answers here. And I'm going to start getting understanding of the situation. And we're going to start moving into a place of faith. We're going to move towards faith concerning this thing. But I'm not asking him for that. We're just talking about things. This isn't the prayer of faith. This is just fellowshipping with God. This is communicating with God. This is talking with God. So there's the prayer of faith, but that's only one kind of prayer. There's all kinds of prayers that we pray. And a lot of what we do is we fellowship with God. We talk with God. But don't go to him and pray asking for something until you're in faith. Because the Bible says, let him ask in faith. Because if he doesn't ask in faith, he will not receive anything from the Lord. He will not receive anything from the Lord. He will not receive. You're not going to be, it's not that God won't give it. You won't be able to receive it. You won't be able to take it from the Lord. You're not going to be able to receive it. So we talk to God about stuff. We fellowship with him over things. And then there comes those times where it's time to take something. It's time to take it. And we know when we're full. We've got the vision. It's full in our heart. And bless God, it's ours, and it's ours now. Praise God. And this is done. There's nothing to talk about anymore. We're finished. It's finished. It's done. Amen? Praise God. And then you just stay in faith, and it won't be long before you have them. What do you mean? Before you actually see it. So you could receive it and take it before you actually, and believe you have it, believe you've received it, believe you've taken it before you actually have it in the physical. Now here's another little trick of the enemy. He sneaks this one in there. And you got people saying, well, I'm believing God. I'm just waiting for the manifestation. I'm just waiting for the manifestation. Faith ain't waiting for nothing. Faith ain't waiting for nothing. I'm just waiting for the manifestation. Faith ain't waiting for nothing. Faith is, then you're still in hope. You're still in hope. You're waiting for the manifestation. You're waiting for something. That's not faith. So that's a little trick that I know that the enemy, I believe, has snuck that in on people concerning believing God. They say, well, I'm believing God. I believe I'm healed. I'm just waiting for the manifestation. We're not waiting for anything. Faith says it's done. From that point on, it lives and it acts like it's done, and it moves forward like it's done. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, if you're not in faith, praise God, don't worry. Hope is good. Hope is good, but don't let yourself stay there forever. You've got to make sure through your fellowshipping with God that you move over into faith, which is exactly what God does here with Abraham. I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. So you could see faith and hope working together there, don't you? Faith and hope working together. I am a father of many nations, and these are the things that are going to come to pass. These are the things that we're going to have kings. We're going to have all kinds of things come to pass. So you see faith and hope working together. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God for these things. Somebody say, I'm growing in my walk with God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it's all for this purpose. Verse 7, and I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in the generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. So God can establish his covenant and show himself to be your God to the world. He wants to show himself strong on your behalf. And he wants to show himself to be a big God in your life. And he wants the world to know it. You are his living epistles. He wants the world to know it. I'm their God. Hallelujah. Everybody just looks and goes, oh, the Lord is your God. That's how God wants it. Come on. Let's get it that way. That people know the Lord is your God. And you walk around and say, yeah, the Lord is my God. Right? We're not trying to push, we don't have to push Jesus on anyone. We just show up. People know God is your God. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, stand on your feet with me tonight.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.